You and Michelle, oh good. That's a blessing. Breaking bread. It's all about. Love it. Amen. Anyone else? Hey, Joshua. Joshua 21. And as always, if you wouldn't mind to stand, we'll read 42 verses. You ready?
Amen.
Maybe we won't read them all at the beginning, but Joshua chapter 21. Come on, pages. Oh, that's because I'm in Judges. Joshua chapter 21. The Bible says this. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites. And so we're to really the last part of the distribution of the land. And it's the inheritance of the Levites. And so they came unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, The Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And then from verse 4, really all the way until verse 40, it's really a list of the cities. We're going to go back and explain all of this and give you an overview of what's going on, but it's the tribe and then the cities that are in each tribe. You know, we'll get to that in a second. But you just suffice it to say. Now, I will say, when we kind of do this and we kind of jump over lots of verses, this is not communicating those verses don't matter. There's a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot of cities, I don't know how to say them. That's not the main reason. But these cities are very, very important for what it is. These are title deeds, right? We have to remember that. But for our purposes tonight, we're not going to take the time to read all of those in our reading part here. But then we get to verse 40. So all the cities for the children of Merari by their families, which were remaining of the families of the Levites, were by their lot 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all these cities. And so these 48 cities we're going to talk about today. And the sermon tonight is this, the inheritance of the Levites, and then the subtitle, and maybe really this is the main title, whatever. God's grace can overcome your past. God's grace can overcome your past. And you're like, Brother Chad, where are you getting this? You'll see, all right? That's what the preaching's for, but I'm excited to get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that, Lord, you're able to work with sinners. And Lord, if you only had perfect people to work with, not a lot would get done. So I'm thankful for your grace and thankful for your mercy, as evidenced, Lord, in the Levites and, Lord, in our lives. And so I pray that you would help us to understand that tonight and, Lord, be emboldened, Lord, to follow you. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Thank you very much for standing. You may be seated. And so as we come again to the city, to the inheritance to the tribe of Levi, we're at the very last section of the dividing of the land. If you remember and recall, that was Joshua's mandate. His mandate was to bring Israel into Canaan, to conquer the land and divide the land. And so this is the last frontier of that. In fact, if you look actually in verse 43, this will be next week's section. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And so they've got it all. It's under their possession. Now there are still Canaanites, as we said, that need to be driven out, but they do have possession of the land. And at the end of our passage today, the land will be fully divided and where God intends for it to be that way. And so this is the last part, the Levites. And so the way that happened is we saw in verse 1, the heads of the fathers of the Levites came. Now, we're going to see this, that really the Levites were divided into three main families. You can look at verse 4. Lot came out of the family for the Kohathites. So if the Kohathites was one of the subsections of the tribe of Levi, if you look at verse 6, and the children of Gershon, so the sons of Kohath and the sons of Gershon is the second, and then verse 7, the children of Merari. Okay, so we have those three heads of the family. So they're all there, and they've come in verse 1 to Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun. And then what's a little bit different here is this, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And so why did they have to have all them there? Well, because as we know, and as we'll explain further tonight, the Levites didn't have their own land. Their inheritance would be in the midst of the other tribes' inheritance. And so the authorities of each of the other tribes needed to be there as they described what cities were going to go to the Levites. Are we doing okay here? All right, so they're there, and they mentioned in verse 2, in verse 2, that they say to them, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And so we're going to do this, and we're going to divide these 48 cities that the Levites will get. That's how many were total, the 48 cities. And included in those 48 cities are what we talked about last time, the six cities of refuge, okay? And so six of those 48 are those cities we talked about even last week. And now we're going to assign those to the Levites. So what I'm going to do now is kind of rapid fire give you how this worked, and the really the way that Joshua divided this chapter for us, okay? And so we get to, again, verses 4 through 7 gives us the three heads of the family that we just talked to you about. It's the sons of Kohath, the sons of Gershon, and the sons of Merari. So we're familiar with those now by the end of verse 8. And then verses 8 through 19, we deal with 13 towns for the Kohathites that were listed. Now, these are not all the cities that go to the Kohathites, but these were the 13 cities that were for the priests, okay? If you look at verse 19 of our passage, it says, all the cities of the children of Aaron, the priests, were 13 cities with their suburbs. And so let me try to explain this to you. We're going to be a little bit nerdy and a little bit, you know, you're going to be tempted to zone out, but don't let it happen, okay? So we have the Levites as the tribe, okay? These are all Levites, the son of Levi. We'll talk about him in a second. Underneath that head of the Levites are those three families, Kohath, you're listening, right? Gershon and Merari, okay? Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. I'm glad you all are with me, okay? So we have the Levites and these three. Under the Kohathites, in that subsection of the Levites, is the sons of Aaron, okay? Aaron's the son of Kohath. Kohath, the sons of Levi. We doing good? See, this is easy. What's the problem? Why am I saying all that? Well, because Aaron and his sons were who God set aside as the official priests, okay? Now, the Levites as a whole is the priesthood. We'll see what this means in a second. But the sons of Aaron are who God set aside to be the priests, the official priests. You can write this down. I'm going to read this to you, but Exodus 28:1 is where that happened. Exodus 28:1 says this, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And from that point on, they became the official priests of Israel. Okay? Now, the rest of the Levites were to be servants to the sons of Aaron. Sons of Aaron are the official priests, but the whole tribe of Levi are involved in the priesthood. Numbers 8:19, if you want to write that down, you can. Numbers 8:19 says this, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel, they like that phrase, come nigh into the sanctuary. And so the Levites were the ones who would be involved with the work of God and the work of the tabernacle. They would be involved in the priesthood activity, but the official priests would be the sons of Aaron. Easy. See, this is like really easy, right? I know you knew all of this, but just to let you know. Okay. And so, those 13 cities from verses 9 through 19 are the cities given to Aaron and his family. And the reason that's important is those cities would ultimately be in the southern kingdom of Judah, and that's where the temple would eventually be built in Jerusalem. And so God knew all that. Nobody else really knew David was going to do that, but God did, right? And the temple was built in Jerusalem. Just so happened to be this right near the cities of the sons of Aaron. Okay, there's that. So that's verses 9 through 19. Verses 20 through 26 is the rest of the cities of Kohath, okay? And there are 10 more cities, including Shechem, which was a city of refuge. They were assigned to the other Kohathites there in Ephraim, Dan, and western Manasseh. Verses 27 through 33 are the 13 cities to the Gershonites. So this is the second of those families. We dealt with the Kohathites, now over to the Gershonites. And those cities were located in eastern Manasseh, Issachar, Asher, and Naphtali. And they had two cities of refuge, and they were included in that list, Golan and Kadesh. Okay? Then we get to verses 34 through 40. And this is dealing with the head of the family of Merari, the Merarite descendants. Okay? We dealt with the Kohathites, we dealt with the Gershonites, and now we're at the Merarites. How are we doing? Welcome to Valley Avenue Baptist Church, where we learn things. And so they received 12 cities, the Merarites did. 12 cities in Zebulun, and then the Transjordan tribes, the ones on the other side, Reuben, Gad, and then including Ramoth, the city of refuge. And so 10 of those cities were on the east side of Jordan, the 2.5 tribe of Manasseh. Okay? And so there we are. There's all the cities. Nailed it. Easy. Okay. We just went through like 40 verses. And not very long. So you're welcome. But those are the cities that were given to the Levites. And what we need to know for our purposes is this. Is those cities, we know this, but just to make this crystal clear, those cities are in the inheritance of the other tribes. Okay? And so what we see here, if I did have a map and we saw Israel, we would see the land divided into these tribes, and speckled throughout each tribe are cities given to the Levites. They were scattered throughout. Now, the question that we need to consider tonight is why? Why did the Levites not receive an inheritance? And if you've been with me, you're like, I already know this. And I hope that you can, but it really goes deeper than what you think, okay? So let's pay attention here. So we've read through the last few chapters that the Levites, the reason they didn't receive an inheritance was because their inheritance, as Joshua said, was God himself, remember that? And their inheritance was the sacrifices to him, that was their inheritance. They were involved with the workings of the tabernacle and eventually the temple. They were involved with making the sacrifices. They were the ones that would help Israel to be right with God. They were the ones also given the authority with the word of God. And if we talked about the cities of refuge, those were Levite cities. Why? Because the Levites were the ones who were charged to really know and study the word of God and be ready to walk Israel through what God says and help them that way. And so their inheritance is God, his word, and the sacrifices to him. That's their inheritance. These verses will sound familiar, hopefully. Joshua 13, 14. Only into the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance. Joshua 13:33. But unto the tribe of Levi Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. Okay, so that's what we've learned in the past. But what I want to help you see tonight is really deeper than that. It's more complicated than that. Actually, the original reason why the Levites were scattered among the other tribes was because their father, Levi's father Jacob, cursed Levi and cursed Simeon. You'll notice Simeon didn't get an inheritance either. He's not even mentioned. He was a son of Jacob. But Levi and Simeon were not given an inheritance first because they were cursed by their father Jacob. Now you say, that's not very nice of Jacob. Well, he had a pretty good reason. They murdered some people back in the day. And so Genesis 34, if you want to turn there, we're going to read a couple of verses, but we're not going to spend a ton of time. I'm just going to give you what happened. But in Genesis 34, a man named Shechem defiled their sister Dinah. Now, we're not going to get into the details of that. There's little ears in here, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, he came in and forcefully defiled Dinah. This was the sons of Jacob, these, you know, Judah, Benjamin, all these people we were talking about, their sister. They weren't very happy about that, as you can imagine. After that happened, after Shechem defiled Dinah, Shechem's father, Hamor, proposed a marriage between Shechem and Dinah. Yeah, and you're probably feeling how they felt, except they felt it a lot deeper than you. But he's like, let's make an alliance between our family and your family. Let's just have these two lovebirds get married. Pretty sick, right? And so Jacob's sons were understandably upset, but two were very, very upset. And those two were Simeon and Levi. They were angry, they were bitter, and they responded to this deceitfully. Here's what they did. They agreed. Hamor said, hey, let's have this marriage. They said, yeah, good idea. They didn't think it was a good idea, but they told him it was. And he said, by the way, if Shechem is going to marry Dinah, he's got to be circumcised. Again, we're not going to go through the details of how that works for a little ear's sake. But whenever you are circumcised, it puts you out of commission. And so Shechem was and all of his men circumcised. And while they were weak, Simeon and Levi went in and slaughtered them all. While they were weak and defenseless, Simeon and Levi went in there and took care of it. And part of us is like, yeah! But God was not for that. And I'm telling you, we mentioned, it's crazy how all these things tie together in Sunday school, didn't we? We mentioned this, that we don't get to choose what people do to us, but we do get to choose how we respond. And we can be just as wrong with God by our response as they are by what they did. And Simeon and Levi were not okay with God here. They messed up. They messed up. And so Jacob was not happy either, their dad. He didn't like what they did. Now, obviously, Jacob wasn't so happy with the whole situation, but he was not happy with how Levi and Simeon responded. And because now this is going to get out. And they were dishonorable here. They did not handle this right. And their reputation was smeared. And the surrounding people, at this point, they were not a big nation. It was pretty much them and that's it. And they had servants and they had big families, but they were not a mighty nation. And if these two knuckleheads gets everyone around them mad, they're in big trouble, in danger. And so Jacob was not happy with them, okay? Here's what Jacob said in verse 30 of Genesis 34. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink. I think some fathers had this conversation with their sons. Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites. This is the Canaanites back then, 400 years ago, but the same guys, and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. That's you, dummies. This stinketh. You should not have done this. He was mad. He was mad, but not really mad. He was upset because they handled this wrong. Are you following this? And so in response to that, Simeon and Levi defended themselves. And I think some fathers have had this situation. But Dad, here's what they said. And they said, should he deal with our sister as an harlot? They said, okay, Dad. So what, we don't do nothing? Well, no, there's a way to handle this, but you handled it wrong. And I will say, and this is not in the notes, but we sometimes feel justified to do stuff and act a certain way because of what someone else did, but we still have a responsibility to deal with that biblically. And just because we have people in our society who are doing wrong things does not give us license to treat them however we want and to respond however we want. God was not okay with it. Jacob was not okay with it. They did not repent. If they would have repented here, this whole thing would have been different maybe, but they didn't. They're like, we didn't do nothing wrong. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. So, of course, Shechem was wrong for what he did, but Levi and Simeon were wrong in how they responded. They responded with anger, and they responded with deceit and being dishonest, being dishonorable. Okay? And so, fast forward to Genesis 49. So this is at the end of Jacob's life. Jacob is giving his blessings to his sons before his death, and here's how he spoke of Simeon and Levi. Genesis 49, verses 5 through 7. He says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Well, yeah. We're all brethren. All 12 of us. But not that kind of brethren. They're brethren in this, and they together defiled our family this way. Are you seeing this? They're brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. They're cruel in how they responded. And again, I'll say, just because someone does something wrong to you, you have no place to be cruel. Ever. Ever. He says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed by their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel, I will divide them in Jacob, and here's what he says, and scatter them in Israel. Right here is originally why Levi and the tribe of Levi, the Levites, did not get an inheritance. That's really the main reason, the first reason. Are we following this? And Simeon was with them. We don't hear about Simeon, and we're going to find out why tonight. And so from that point on, they knew, no inheritance for me. Okay. And so because of their cruelty, because of their anger, Jacob cursed them to be scattered in Israel. Now, later on, the Levites turned around. They repented as a people. And in the case of, so we have Simeon and Levi. In the case of Levi, his descendants, God overruled the curse in a sense. We'll find out, we'll explain this in a second, to preserve their tribal identity. And actually, God made the Levites a blessing to all Israel, as we're reading today. And the Levites, if you think about it, and the way we've thought of them throughout Joshua, before we knew this information in Genesis, we hear the Levites were like, they're awesome. Their inheritance is God. That's way better. That's more gooder than land, right? Their inheritance is the tabernacle. Their inheritance is the sacrifice. Their inheritance is the Word of God. I would rather have the Levites' inheritance than some land. And so we've thought of them that way. So here's the question. How did they go from being a disgrace and rebuked and really seeming like, if you're Levi in that moment when Jacob says, no inheritance for you, nanny nanny boo boo, you're like, that stinks. And there is a tendency to say, well, now it's over. Woe is me. I got nothing to look forward to. I messed up. It's over. I want to stop and say this. It's never over until your breath's gone. And yes, there are consequences to actions. There are. And yes, you can do something that is going to affect the rest of their life. They couldn't escape that, could they? That decision and that curse in Genesis 49 did affect the rest of the nation, the rest of the life of the tribe of Levi, didn't it? There's no question. But that doesn't mean that God was done with them. That doesn't mean that God couldn't use them. That doesn't mean that they were no use to God. In fact, by the end of this thing, God used them, in my opinion, more than the rest. So how did that happen? Well, they just made a decision. I'm just going to follow God anyways. Even if I, okay, I made a big mistake. We can go through examples in life. But there are consequences to actions. And God's grace is there. But you can do certain things that will affect the rest of your life. Teenagers need to pay close attention to this, because between the ages of 15 and 25, a lot of those decisions are made. And you can make decisions that affect the rest of your life. You marry someone, that affects the rest of your life, doesn't it? You get involved physically with somebody, that affects the rest of your life, doesn't it? You kill a man, that does affect the rest of your life. It might be shorter. But what I'm saying is this, is when you make a decision like that, and you, here's how we put it, you blow it. It's done. I messed up. You have two options, Simeon or Levi. Simeon or Levi. Both of these men were affected in ways the rest of the tribes weren't. The rest of the tribes got an inheritance. Simeon and Levi did not. Simeon, we hear nothing more about. Simeon just basically gave up, didn't he? And he kind of sucked his thumb. He said, I blew it. I'm never going to be able to do what I wanted to do with my life. I'm not going to be like the rest. There are things my brothers are going to enjoy that I will never enjoy. So I'm just going to give up. Levi didn't do that. The tribe of Levi, didn't they? They decided to follow God even though there was no promise of inheritance. The rest of the tribes, besides Simeon, they were doing all this, and they were wandering in the wilderness, and they were doing all this stuff. Why? Because they knew, one day I'm getting something. I'm getting me an inheritance. Levi didn't have that, but they still chose to follow God. And they didn't make it all about what they're going to get or what they're not going to get. They chose to follow God anyway. There's a couple of specific things they did. If you go to Exodus 32, if you want to turn there, you can. This is the golden calf. Remember the golden calf deal? And so they get out of the Israel is freed from Egypt. They come to Mount Sinai. While Moses is getting the Ten Commandments, Israel's down there worshiping a calf, a golden calf. Okay? It all started with the men who had earrings. Okay, that's the big problem. But they took all their earrings off and burnt them and melted them and made a calf out of their jewelry. And they started worshiping that calf. Okay, at the end of that, chapter 32, verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of who? Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Hey, they were on the Lord's side. Even though they didn't have an inheritance to look forward to, even though they potentially had nothing exciting left in their life except this one thing, they could be on the Lord's side, and that's enough. And listen, before it happened where we are, Levi decided, all I need as an inheritance is God. Isn't that awesome? And they decided to be on the Lord's side. And he said in verse 27 unto them, thus say the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell on the people that day about 3,000 men. They went in there and took care of business for God. We don't need to go any further than that. But they obeyed God. They said, I'm on God's side. I'm going to do what he says, even though I got nothing promised me. And we can get to a place where we only serve God because of the blessings he's going to give us. Can't we? We can get to a place where we are only serving God because we don't want a terrible life that we had before we were serving God, or we want His blessings on our life. We need to be careful about that. God is enough by Himself to serve Him. Even if we didn't have eternity to look forward to, we have God, and He is worthy, and He is deserving. And Levi said, I am serving God, even though I've got nothing promised to me. Awesome. That was the beginning. And they did a few things along the way that we're not just going to take time for today. But I believe specifically because of this moment here, God was able to turn. Here's the point tonight. God was able to turn the curse upon Levi into a blessing. Their curse was to be scattered throughout Israel. God made that curse a blessing. And them being scattered throughout Israel allowed for God to have His priests scattered throughout Israel. Imagine if they did have an inheritance. It wouldn't work out the same. We're going to deal with that here in a little bit. And because so then Levi's descendants were scattered as Jacob prophesied, but they were used by God to function as a priestly tribe throughout all Israel. And Moses, as Moses said they would. And Moses said this of Levi, if you want to turn there, you can. Deuteronomy 33:10. Here's what Moses said of Levi. They shall teach Jacob. Now Jacob's another word for Israel and the name for the nation of Israel. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt offerings upon thine altar. They were entrusted with the solemn responsibility and the high privilege of being in God's place, not in God's place, but in the in-between, between Israel and God. They were given the responsibility to maintain the knowledge of the Lord, to teach Israel God's word, and to be involved with sacrificing and making atonement for Israel and God. And how appropriate, because they were redeemed, weren't they? And they were atoned, and they messed up, and now they're with God, and now their job is to help Israel when they mess up to get right with God. This is the lot of Levi. Pretty awesome. Now listen to this. We're almost done. Just because they were cursed because of their sin, it did not negate the possibility of future blessing. You see this? God's grace is more powerful than this. I like this. I found this in one of the commentaries. Just because one makes manure of their life, it doesn't mean God can't use them later for fertilizer. Amen. Come on. Yeah. And what rich fertilizer they became, didn't they? Sprinkled all over. Listen, John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you sin, you separate yourself from God. And when you confess your sin, He is faithful and He is just. He is faithful to do it every single time you come to Him and ask. And He is just, which means He has the authority to forgive your sin because He paid for it. And so you are always one prayer away. Doesn't matter how terrible you've messed things up, you are always one prayer away from having God be your inheritance. There is something you need to understand about this, though. That does not mean you're one prayer away from getting out of all the consequences. You make some decisions, and they will have consequences. Now, God is powerful enough, He can negate some of those, and He does along the way, but you are promised nowhere in His Word that you are going to get out of it, that you are going to get out of jail, that you're going to get out of whatever. Choices do have consequences. Two things about that. One, being right with God is more important than those consequences. So already it's not hopeless. Even if the rest of your life is manure and then just gets burnt up, if you have God, you have everything. That's what the Levites were. God never promised them when they chose to be on God's side. Even they messed up their life. They messed up their tribe. They were the worst of the tribes, them and Simeon. And God never promised He would turn things around for them. They decided God was enough, even without the blessing. And God is enough, truly. But here's the second thing about that. God can take the mess that you've created, and He is powerful enough to do something awesome with it anyways. You say, I've made some terrible mistakes, Brother Chad. I'm sure you have. I know the feeling. So have I. And we said Sunday school, I'm thankful I don't get everything I deserve. If I got everything I deserve, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be squashed like a bug somewhere. Right? But here's the thing. You probably have messed some things up. But that does not limit our God's ability to use you. He wasn't going to go back and change His mind and give them an inheritance. So you can't expect for that to go away. But God is powerful enough to do something awesome, even though there are certain things you might be disqualified for. Can we just be a little bit specific?
Come on.
The Bible's clear. To be a pastor, you have to be the husband of one wife, which means you cannot be divorced to be a pastor. And that stinks. And so divorce is something that affects things and makes things difficult. And there are certain things that you can't do, namely two, pastor and deacon. That does not mean God can't use you. That does not mean you're washed up. That does not mean you can't serve God as much as they do. No, that just means you can't serve God the same way they do, but you can serve God as much as they do, and if you surrender to Him, He can use you greater than He uses them. How are we doing? If you have a physical relationship with somebody outside of marriage, that has consequences. And you will deal with those for the rest of your life, potentially. I can't say some kind of prayer to make it that didn't happen. I can't do that. I can't promise you that. There might be guys out there who can. No, they can't. I can't. Here's what I can promise you. God can still use you in an incredible way. In an incredible way. You see? Because God's grace is powerful enough to overcome your past. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And so you have a choice tonight. I don't think you have much of a choice in this area. Did I mess up before or did I not? I'm pretty sure you did. Now, I don't know how you did. I don't need to know. I'm thankful I'm not a priest. Well, at least I am a priest, and so are you. Okay? And there's nowhere in this building where I sit in a little room and there's something between us and you tell me everything you've ever done wrong. I would go wacko fast. I don't want to know everything you've done wrong. I don't need to know everything you've done wrong. You don't need to tell me everything you've done wrong. I don't even know where I was going with that. I just got all sidetracked. Where was I going with that? Brother Tim, you were following. Where was I going? So anyway, here's the thing. God can use you. God can use you. That's where I was going. You did mess up. And I don't know how. And I don't want to know. Unless you want me to help you through. Okay, I will. If you want help, I can help you. But I don't need to know. I don't need to know. God does know. But He can use you anyway. And so you have a choice. You did. You made some mistakes. You have a choice. Are you going to respond to that mistake like Levi or Simeon? Simeon or Levi? Which one? Are you going to sulk and suck your thumb and whine? Well, I messed up. I guess all I'm good for is warming a pew. You know? How could God use me? I ruined it. No, actually, you're not that powerful. God can use you. He has a plan for your life. But you're going to have to decide this. No, listen, you're not going to get everything you might want. I'm going to just tell you that. Okay? You're not going to get everything you might want out of this thing. But you can first have a thriving walk with God. And I'm talking about before you leave this building, you can be 100% right with God and walk with Him as much as anyone has, as much as David did, as much as Job did, as much as Daniel did, as much as Joshua did. You can have as close a walk with God or closer than any of these people. And I don't care what you did. I don't care if you murdered somebody yesterday. Well, I do, but not for this purpose. You could have murdered somebody yesterday and be right with God today. There's going to be some consequences. So, but you can have a perfect walk with God before you leave this building. And that's awesome. And that's enough. But God is pretty powerful. And He can make something of your life if you choose to make Him your inheritance. Levi chose to make God their inheritance, and then God made Himself their inheritance, didn't He? God can do that for you. God can do that for you. You are not too far for God's grace. You are not too far to come home. God's grace can overcome your past. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for how You worked in the life of the tribe of Levi. And God, we're so thankful for Your mercy. We're so thankful for Your power to overcome our mistakes. And really, if we're honest, it's not really mistakes, it's decisions we made, sin that we chose. And God, if we're honest before You, and if we were just to humble ourselves between just You and us, we can list off a myriad of things that we wish we wouldn't have done, and some things that we wish we would have done. And yeah, it's true, Lord, life would be different today had we not done that. But You're still in control. And so, Lord, I pray that You help us to trust You. Help us, Lord, to put all of that aside. Stop thinking about the things that we've lost. And focus on what we can have, which is a walk with You, and watch as You do some amazing things. Thank You for Your goodness. Pray that You bless our time of invitation. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Mike's going to play piano. Now is the time to respond if God's worked in your heart.